You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Everybody, hour number two is upon us. This last show, our penultimate broadcast of the season. Keith, can you believe it? We've only got one more show after this. This is the next to last, and we're trying to knock it out of the park before we focus on all things spiritual next week with Pastor Brett McAtees. He will tell us the biblical accounting of the Christmas story. How about that first hour with George Wallace Jr. revisiting that one?
It just falls in our lap, like you said, manna from heaven. Kanye is really stirring the pot.
With the Rosa Parks stuff. That's right. Well, here's another one. Here's another one that came up, another story that came up this week that caused me to start to thinking about things that might make for interesting radio. So at a Kentucky Fried Chicken location in St. Louis, and you can imagine what the demographics of that in St. Louis were. A customer, black customer, went into a KFC and he ordered a meal. And when the cashier told him that they were out of corn, he pulled out a gun and blasted him.
Capped him.
So when people say, well, these racists hate blacks, no, we do, however, want to keep our families and the people that we care about, including ourselves, at an arm's length from this type of behavior.
Well, we want to maintain the decorum and the ethical and moral standards of a Western European-derived nation. That's what we are. I don't think that's asking too much of anybody from another background that comes to America that you need to assimilate to civilized ways of living.
So I found that story. The headline reads, KFC employee shot in St. Louis after customer told they're out of corn. And I captured that headline. I put the comment on top of it. As I said during one of my CNN appearances, quote, you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. Now, when I was preparing for that particular broadcast, Keith was the one who fed me that line. He said, when it comes up, you say this. And for all the things I may be remembered for by this audience, that quote is one of them. And Jesse Lee Peterson saw that I had tweeted that, and he retweeted it. Well, I was on the show with Jesse Lee Peterson the night I said it, and he retweeted it. And that got one of his followers saying, wow, I just found on YouTube this appearance of y'all on CNN together. Now, I did not know that was actually still on YouTube. I knew it was years ago, but after we got blasted off of YouTube, I didn't think to check again. Well, I went back and I watched that particular appearance, and we're going to take three clips from it and break it down over each of the next three segments. Now, that particular CNN broadcast was concerned with the topic of self-segregation, and I thought this would dovetail nicely in with the first hour's conversation with George Wallace Jr., whose father was most known, of course, about his stand for segregation. Let's play that first clip now if we've got it ready, Liz.
And we have a special Out in the Open panel tonight. They'll be with us throughout the hour to talk about self-segregation. Molly Secour, who writes a column on race relations for blackcommentator.com. CNN contributor Roland Martin. Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, founder and president of Brotherhood Organization for a New Destiny. And James Edwards, host of The Political Cesspool on WRL-MAM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. Welcome all.
Thank you. Good to be here, Paula.
One of the most striking things about talking to these kids is the extent to which they downplayed the issue of race and why it is all the white kids sat together, the black kids and the Hispanics. Do you buy that?
I don't. You know, a lot of white Americans are afraid to talk about race and morality concerning Black Americans.
But I was talking to Black kids too. Yeah, they said the same thing. They said, we want to be around kids that have something in common with us. We're in schoolrooms with them all day long. Lunches are, you know, the bit of time that we have to relax.
People tend to be comfortable with folks that they know. But when it comes to white and black, the white and black issue, most Black Americans are racist and resentful of white Americans. And so they don't feel comfortable around white Americans. And instead of facing their racism, they say, well, it's the white man. White people are racist toward us. And white folks are fed up. They are afraid to speak up for fear of being called racist. They are now afraid to hang around with Black Americans because fear of saying the wrong thing.
So you're telling me these kids at this school in this racially diverse city are all racist?
I'm not saying
Black kids?
I'm not saying that they all are, but I am saying that most Blacks are today, and we haven't dealt with the issue of racism from Black Americans toward white folks because Blacks have been told that they can't be a racist by their quote-unquote leaders, and so racism within the hearts and minds of Black folks concerning white Americans have not been dealt with.
All right.
I wrote an article for WorldNetDaily.com looking for one strong white man, a white man that would speak up, and I received truckloads of emails from white Americans who said that I am afraid to deal with Black folks for fear of being called a racist. I got it from preachers and non-preachers alike.
James.
Paula, Reverend Peterson's absolutely right. As a white American, I think that what's portrayed throughout the controlled media is that self-segregation is something that we should apologize for, when in fact the exact opposite is true. I think it is perfectly natural and healthy that one would choose to associate with members of their own families, people with whom they share the same values and traditions and heroes. There's nothing enriching for white school children to be bussed across town to gang-ridden schools in which they have to walk through metal detectors before they can report
the
class.
This time out, James, you get the last word, and then you all get to chime in after the break.
Only liberal demagogues believe that human nature can be carried away on an integrated school bus. There's nothing wrong with European Americans standing up for their culture and their traditions, and you want that for minorities, well, we want it for ourselves. And I think many white Americans are seeing through this charade, and I'm one of them that's beginning to speak out against it.
Do you consider yourself a racist?
No, I consider myself a man who's proud of his cultural heritage.
All right, we're going to take a short break. Hold your thoughts, hold your fire. We've got a lot more to discuss here.
So that was the prime time show on CNN in 2007. That was in the spring of 2007. We'd only been on the air less than 3 years, about 2.5 years when they called me up. It took us 2.5 years from the first night we were on the air to we were prime time on the 8 p.m. Eastern broadcast, saying things like that on national television.
Is that when you went over to that little studio?
No. That was another appearance on CNN. This was actually filmed at or taped live. It was aired live at CNN studios in Manhattan.
You were
Manhattan.
Airbuzzed up to New York City, right?
That's absolutely for that one. Yes, I was on a series of times. That was the one they flew me up to New York. Some of the other ones we did it at a remote location. But prime time in 2007, I can tell you there was nobody else talking like that on national television
right.
about
and
the
you,
issue
you
of segregation.
You see how they put the kibosh on that type of conversation,
time
too,
Time for
right?
a break. That's an old trick in the media. But Jesse Lee Peterson, listen, if Jesse hadn't retweeted my comment about the Kentucky Fried Chicken shooting and somebody on his Twitter feed found that clip, we wouldn't be talking about it tonight. But I think it's important, especially for the people who are tuning in that haven't heard that before, to just remind people that exactly the level we've been operating at for nearly two decades here on this program. I tell you what.
There's been a lockdown on freedom of speech on these type of issues ever since that time.
We'll be back and we'll get Keith's commentary on some more of that kind of stuff when we come back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICAST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com. Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Christmas song ever of that kind. Now, I'm not I am not comparing it to the hymns and the carols. That is a different kind. But of that kind, you know I'm a Wall of Sound guy, right, Keith?
Absolutely. And a George Wallace guy, too.
I'm a George Wallace guy. But I'll tell you, Phil Spector could put a 60-piece orchestra in a closet and crank out hit after hit after hit. The best record producer of the rock and roll era. And he was a madman. I mean, he convicted of murder even, but he was an evil genius.
Well, he knew what he was doing. You know, if you really want to hear the Wall of Sound, listen to the Righteous Brothers singing You've Lost That Loving Feeling.
Look, all of that stuff. See, we can say good things about Jewish people. And you've got one. You say you know a former mayor of Memphis who happened to be Jewish who could put Wallace to shame on the issue of segregation.
Right. He never backed down. Henry Loeb was a Jew I wish that I could have unleashed upon the entire world. He was demonized and just shown in little bits, but he was 6 foot six and looked and sounded like John Wayne. And he was a staunch segregationist. I remember that he joined my church and left the Jewish faith, and I asked him why he did that in he spoke to our Sunday school class. I was in the high school Sunday school class, and he said, well, the real reason was I got tired of being harangued every Sabbath by Rabbi Wax at Temple Israel, where he used to go, about how I ought to handle the garbage worker strike. He said, Rabbi Wax believes in the separation of church and state, just not the separation of synagogue and state.
All right, so here's the thing. Why are we revisiting these things tonight? Well, I thought that the George Wallace thing was definitely interesting, especially for new listeners and for anybody who may have heard it a decade ago, the only time we aired it, when it aired live. I thought it was owed a revisitation after Rosa Parks being back in the news this week and that era being back in the news. But so much of that era dealt with the issue of segregation. And so you fast forward all the way to 2007, here I am on a panel of four, talking about the issue of self-segregation on the biggest cable news show in the country at the time.
Alizon was the moderator.
That was back when she was the hostess of that show back at the time. In 2007, CNN still had an audience, and so there we were. And Jesse Lee Peterson was on my side of the table, and on the other side of the table was Roland Martin and Molly Secours, Paula Zahn in the middle, and there we were in Manhattan, and we're going to play the
set. Back when CNN had probably 10 times the listenership that it has today.
Sure. Well, in any event, only 2.5 years into the run of this program, we had already made it up to that level of play. And, here we are now.
Until they decided that James told too much truth.
Too much truth. Well, anyway, we were talking about segregation. In the last clip, we were talking about segregation in the schools. Here's a clip about they tried to trip me up because they knew I was going to be on to advocate for segregation. By the way, you know, it was in the movie that we talked about, George Wallace movie. George Wallace Jr. mentioned it in the interview, and he mentions it in his book that late in his father's life, he apologized for his role in the Birmingham,
which Henry Loeb did not apologize for,
the Birmingham church bombing. And I said, you know, if anything, I say he should have congratulated the South, lauded the South on how much self-control they had, that there was so little violence when you had so much change happening so rapidly against the will of the people by outside forces. And so, but listen, an old man apologizing
too, the
at the end of it all. And I don't even know if that Birmingham Church Street bombing, the Birmingham church bombing was legitimate. I mean,
let me tell you what I understand
very, very,
about
very
since,
quick. We got to go to this
brought
clip.
About it. The bombers basically picked a fire escape that had, limited access. It said used for emergencies only. They intended for the bombs to go off, break some windows, and shock people, but not hurt anybody. They did not imagine that four little girls would play hooky from Sunday school, go into that fire exit and be smoking when the thing went off.
Well, so they tried to trip me up in this one. They found an affluent black neighborhood in Atlanta, in Lathonia, Georgia at the time. I'm sure it's a hellscape now. But they said, oh, look at this clip. James, are you saying you wouldn't like to live in this affluent black neighborhood? Look how nice all the houses look. Let's play the clip.
Also with us tonight, Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson,
second
who
clip.
Says blacks are
We've already played that one. So this would be clip B or clip
also
two.
Also with us tonight, Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, who says blacks are
I'll
often...
Find it. I'll find it on my end. Hang on a second. I've got it over here. We'll play it locally instead of at the network. I don't know why that one's playing again. That's okay. But it's going to take me a second to find it. Here we go. All right, here's the clip, and we're going to play it now. You got any Jeopardy theme music you can play, Keith? Here we go. They were playing the right clip. My apologies, Liz. I'm sorry. It looked like they were introducing us again. Let's play that clip. You got it right. My bad. Play it.
Also with us tonight, Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, who says blacks are often responsible for self-segregation and victimization, and James Edwards, who is a white separatist. Welcome back. Now, you have been highly critical of African Americans. You think a lot of crime and poverty follows where they are. Take a look at that community.
Well, look.
Is that a place where you could live?
No, it absolutely does follow them, and you know that it does. And I think CNN outdid themselves in finding the strong, affluent black community, because that is certainly the exception and not the rule. 9 times out of 10, integration is a one-way street that runs directly through white neighborhoods. And I think that we've seen that throughout the last 40 years as the failed civil rights movement has manifested itself in our daily lives.
Crime does follow blacks who don't have
Absolutely.
Two parents in the homes.
Absolutely.
Crime and violence and a lack of moral character, right?
So white folks don't commit crimes, right?
But where there are two parents,
but
where there are two parents, you don't tend to find
out
of control
crime.
You're talking about self-segregation, but forced integration is not a path to equality. It's a march towards totalitarianism. And all of these liberal talking heads that want to talk pro about the wonders of diversity, spend a week on the mean streets of South Memphis and you'll graduate with a degree in race relations.
Wow.
Hang on, hold your thoughts.
I guess your neighborhood is really safe, huh?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, right.
Oh, boy.
You patrol
okay,
there?
Okay, hang on.
Absolutely. Gotcha.
Stay with me. The conversation, I think, will continue on the other
side. I love
side.
That. James will tell. Call a spade a dirty shovel, as my wife's grandfather used to say.
See, that was my first time on national television
Never
like that.
Never backed up an inch.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is, if I had it to do over again, I would have gotten a lot more in than I did. I waited for Paula Zahn to call on me before I spoke. If I knew how media works now, it's like we do it here. We just talk all over each other. that's what talk radio is.
Strong survive.
When you're having a debate like that, you just got to bulldog your way in. I was 26 years old, okay? So it was my first time, and so I waited to be called on before I spoke. But, yeah, you heard us mixing it up there, and Jesse Lee Peterson was a great sparring partner in that,
that naysayer you heard was Roland Martin.
He was saying, well, whites don't commit crime, as if that's some sort of a gotcha thing. Yeah, whites commit crime, but not nearly to the extent per their proportion of the population.
13% of the population doesn't create over 50% of the violent crime.
He asked if my neighborhood was safe. If I said yes, he said, oh, yeah, right. I mean, so that's all they've got. They've got name calling, they've got laughter, they've got mocking, they've got talking over, but
they have no facts.
Well, so what'd you think about what you just heard?
I loved it, man. I tell you, that's how you cut your teeth, that's how you got your reputation. You didn't back up. You're strong as Garrett Snuff, as they
say. Well, that's the thing. Wallace should have never – listen, and I can't take it away from him. He was our man in the arena and one of the most tumultuous pivots in American history in the 1960s. And, look, he did it to the wall. I think, the only thing else he could have done – he should have done. Well, no. He should have called in the Alabama National Guard, and he said, "If you force disintegration on us, you better bear down."
See,
on
that
us.
That's what that was. What happened at the University of Alabama in that when that famous speech was being made? What happened at Oxford, Mississippi, when they integrated Ole Miss?
They're trying to get Jerry Jones now because he was caught in the frame of a picture at one of these integration.
Yeah, and then
did you hear that?
Yeah, I've heard that. And then on the other hand, they had Little Rock, they had the 101st Airborne come in with bayonets drawn. All of that was a direct and palpable violation of the Posse Comitatus Law, which was the first law passed by the Southerners once they got back into Congress after Reconstruction in 1877 to make sure that the U.S. military was never again, as it was during Reconstruction, used as a police force against American citizens.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you like what you're hearing tonight, support our work. We need your support to stay on the air. Listen, we don't have the sponsors that CNN had when I was on. We are listener-supported 100%. Stay tuned and help us out.
Proclaiming liberty across the land, you're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA News, I'm Dave Collins. A mass shooter's father has now been charged where seven people at a 4th of July parade were killed in Highland Park, Illinois. Robert Cremeau Jr. turned himself into police under an arrest warrant, charging him with seven counts of reckless conduct for helping his son get a gun license. The prosecutor says the father was criminally reckless when he sponsored his son's gun license application. An American college student reported missing in France is on his way home. French authorities say Ken DeLand Jr. has been reunited with his mother in Lyon, and the two will be boarding a plane today for the flight back to the U.S. The 22-year-old made contact with his parents Friday morning from Spain after disappearing from his study abroad program in Grenoble in late November. More charges for a subway shooter in Brooklyn.
Frank James is accused of setting off smoke bombs and firing nearly three dozen rounds on a train bound for Manhattan. A federal grand jury returned a superseding indictment, charging him with 10 counts of a terrorist attack and other violence against the mass transportation system. That's one count for each victim in the shooting. James pleaded not guilty back in May. The victims, ranging in age from 16 to 60, all survived the attack.
A soccer star's jerseys are sold out worldwide. Argentina's soccer sensation Lionel Messi's jerseys were sold out ahead of tomorrow's World Cup final. Adidas says all its stores' shelves around the world are completely empty of the Argentina number 10 jerseys. The German company says it's rushing to get more Messi jerseys in stores as soon as possible. Messi, one of the greatest soccer players ever, he will attempt to win his first World Cup when Argentina faces France in Qatar. Tonight's Powerball jackpot, $149 million. This is USA News.
paid for by government.com.
Did you hear? A recent stash of $10 gold Liberty coins from the 1800s has been found. These gorgeous gold coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck in the late 1800s, and less than 50 of these gold coins are available. Coin experts are calling this gold find an incredible opportunity. Call 1-888-201-7060, and you are guaranteed a $10 gold Liberty coin minted by the U.S. Mint in the 1800s. But with extremely limited availability, you must call now. These gold Liberty coins from the 1800s are still in uncirculated condition. That is history you can hold in your hand. To learn more, call 1-888-201-7060. Call now, and you'll receive a free American Coin Collector's Bonus Package, a $40 value, free with every order. Call 1-888-201-7060 now to secure your $10 Gold Liberty coins dated from the 1800s before they sell out. That's 1-888-201-7060.
Boy, I tell you what, that's our kind of stuff right there, Andy Keith.
Charlie Brown Christmas.
You love it?
I love it, man.
All right. Well,
takes me back, a flashback from the past.
I tell you what I love is telling the truth, and I've been able to do that for the last 18 years, not just on this venue, but some of the biggest venues in the land. On that particular...
And how liberating it is, isn't it, James?
Oh, boy, I tell you, it's been a life worth living. On that particular broadcast, which, again, we're revisiting because, why? Because we had the KFC shooting, the black guy shot the clerk because they were out of corn. I tweeted about it. Jesse Lee Peterson retweeted my tweet, and then somebody said, wow, I can't believe I found this video of you two teamed up together on CNN. I was like, you know, I didn't know that that was still up there. There was several appearances I made on CNN, one of which on immigration, I have never rewatched. It was, I have it on DVD in the attic. I actually went up to the attic and I've had all kinds of goodies. Keith said, what's this VHS? It is raw footage of Pat Buchanan and I walking around at the Hermitage for a 5 o'clock Nashville news.
Oh, that, you need to run that. That needs to be.
Nobody's ever seen that.
Well, what you need to do is make that one of our
giveaways
for the fundraising drive.
Well, I gave a speech about that at the Countercurrents, where I gave a little bit of background on that particular moment in my life and how it happened, and of course the rest was history. It's all God's will. It was fate, whatever you want to call it.
You know, they call it the Hermitage because it's supposed to be where a hermit lived. You know, Andrew Jackson was a very convivial and gregarious hermit, if he was, because he used to have all sorts of people.
I tell you what, he beat the banks. You know, he was the only president who did that.
He beat the banks, and he also, you know, he did what he said he was going to accomplish. And believe me, it was a big job. And, of course, who was it that finished up with ending the bank, settling the Mexican border dispute, gaining one-third of the United States in the process, and settling the Canadian dispute? None other than Tennessean James K. Polk, who was young hickory to Andrew Jackson's old
and
hickory.
Do you know one of Andrew Jackson's arch rivals was another Tennessean by the name of Davy Crockett? Now, could you imagine the embarrassment of riches you would have had if you had to pick between Andrew Jackson and Davy Crockett as to which side you were on? Those were the two sides you had to choose
from? Well, you know Davy Crockett's famous life motto is ours, too. He said, I leave these words for others when I'm dead. Be always sure you're right, then go ahead. In other words, don't worry about what's politically correct or what the prevailing winds of public opinion say. Just decide what is right, and you can sleep well at night.
And I think also I like what he said when he was voted out of office. He told his colleagues in Congress, y'all can go to hell, I'm going to Texas, pretty much.
No, he actually said that to his constituents in West Tennessee.
Was it that?
Yeah.
I thought it was the Congress he said. Anyway, well, it was a great line, whoever he said it to. In any event, so back to CNN, all the way back in the late, great year of 2007. I'm 26 years old. I turned 27 a couple of months later in the summer of 2007. Talking about self-segregation for the full hour that night, they did a segment on school segregation, a segment on segregation in neighborhoods. Here's a segment on segregation in the church. Let's play it, Liz.
We want to hear what you have to think about this. We asked you our quick vote question. Is self-segregation bad for race relations in the U.S.? 46% of you said yes. 37% said no. 17% says doesn't matter. We should make it clear the results are not scientific. What do you make of those results?
Well, I don't know what to make of the results. I mean, obviously the people who tune in to CNN probably wouldn't be of a conservative persuasion for the most part. But getting back to the churches, as a Christian...
Well, it's not that we measure that by our...
Well, listen. As a Christian, I've always been under the impression that it was the role of the church to bring people into the acceptance of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, not to preach the failed social gospel of cultural Marxism. And I reject the term segregationist. I reject the term separatist. I'm a man who is proud of his ethnicity. Is Mr. Martin a black separatist because he's proud of his race?
Billy Graham was the first to say that the churches are separated on Sundays between blacks and whites. Well, white Americans need to understand that things are not going to change until they get over this false guilt that they have about the condition or concerning the conditions of black folks. They're going to have to get over the fear.
You're saying we white people feel tremendous guilt,
right,
and that's what's
guilt.
Hanging
you're
us
not,
up on fostering better relations
absolutely.
Between blacks and whites?
It's not your fault. So whites have to get over their fear. Whites must get over that fear and start standing up and defending themselves.
Paula, here's what has to happen.
Then things would change.
Okay.
That's why
James,
personal insult
okay, final word.
The personal insult is the last recourse and of exhausted mind. Only European Americans are called racist for wanting to look after their cultural interests.
Oh, it's so hard to cut off a reverend, but I have to. Someone's got to pay for this.
Are you sure he's a reverend? Check the papers.
Yeah, he is.
Are you sure?
All right, we'll be right back. Thank you, T.
See, that's all Roland Martin had in his arsenal. So I say, as a Christian, he says, as a segregationist Christian. Yeah, yes, I am a segregationist. You know, I don't apologize for that.
Unfortunately for him, so is he. You know, if he were honest, he would admit that he segregates ferociously, much more so and much more self-consciously than James or Jesse.
Paula Zahn referred to Jesse as properly as Reverend Peterson and Blowfish, Reverend Roland Martin, the Blowfish, said, "Are you sure he's a reverend? Check his paper." Yeah, that's all he's got. That's all he's got. But yes, I don't apologize for
what he's got now.
Is there anything?
He's got a multi-million-dollar contract with CNN to this day, and you don't. It shows your, you know, popularity. It shows you where the establishment is placing its.
Well, she mentioned that they ran a live poll and that 40% of the CNN audience at the time, and that was in 2007, 40% of the CNN audience, I think she said 37% said, you know, segregation's okay. Now it's, you know, within the Republican voting base, it's, you know, 80, 90%, you know, would say that.
Much more polarized, and quite frankly, you know, let's do this. Let these people show their ass. That's what's happening with the left. They are showing their ass. And people are being turned off by it, and in particular, black people and Hispanic people. They do not buy sexual depravity as being a civil right, which is the position of the white left now.
Yeah, so, I mean, this whole thing is done. I think we have won the debate within the Republican base anyway. Well, within the Republican base, I mean, this is already all over. I mean, so much has changed since 2007 when that conversation was ongoing on primetime CNN, and honored to have played a part in it on behalf of our people. You know, not backing down, 26 years old, not backing down on national television. I'm proud of that. I'm more proud of it now than I was then. I really am. Re-listening to that for the first time in years and years and years tonight as... That's what we've been doing, folks. That's what we do here, right, Keith? I mean,
absolutely.
And people take notice. And
I tell you what, I really want to know who your hairdresser was back then.
You know what they had? They did have.
They put a spit shine on.
There was a. I looked. If you can find that on YouTube, I looked really good back then.
You did.
And I look really good now, but I really, really look good then. And
well, I used to joke with James that they used him because they wanted to have a skinhead. But let me tell you, you were shining, boy. You're looking good.
You can find that on YouTube. There was a 20-something-year-old producer who was the one who contacted me to come on. Uh-huh. And she was the one who kept having me on. I think I...
You must have turned her on.
I think she might have liked me a little bit, but I, you know... Wherever she is now, and I remember her name, but who knows. But that was a fun time, and I hope you enjoyed that, ladies and gentlemen. And
she's probably been fired like half, like three-quarters of the staff of CNN from those days.
Well, as I said, they pre-interviewed you. you know, for that, they pre-interviewed you. So they wanted to know what you were going to say to certain questions before they brought you on. They didn't just bring you on, and then you go on there, and you say whatever you want to say, and they're caught unawares.
Like no, Dave Chappelle on SNL.
No. They had a pre-interview with me, and this young producerette pre-interviewed me, and she said, yep, you're what we're looking for. Which was, I guess, as I joked in my Countercurrents talk this week, we posted it actually this week on the website. It was from back in October, but they just posted it at Countercurrents last week, and we reposted it at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week. I said, you know, CNN was looking for, and I said this jokingly, the most racist guy they get away with having because I had those AM radio credentials. But in any event, we reached a lot of people. You know, back
did.
Then.
And
we're still here. A lot of those people aren't still there.
That's
but
right.
Still
we won. They lost.
How about Jesse Lee Peterson, though? We got to say something very quickly about Jesse.
Jesse Lee is great, man. I mean,
if every white man thought like Jesse Lee Peterson, where'd we be?
Well, so many more think like him but don't have the courage to speak like him.
We'll give you the courage. Now, you said an apology is owed to our producer, Liz, who had the right clip all along, but I was blowing it. I didn't think Paula Zahn introduced us every single segment, but I forgot. And
well,
so Liz
underestimated a young woman again.
So that's right.
She knew what she was doing.
Everybody here at Liberty News Radio is just it's a crack team. It's a fantastic team. But we've moved so far beyond 2007. I mean, this is a big article this week. Peter Brimelow, our good friend Peter, and I were texting about this week, how far the Overton window has shifted. We reposted a Brad Griffin column at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week. Peter Brimelow, you know, rubbing shoulders this week in New York at a black tie gala with
New York Young Republicans.
Marjorie
gala.
Taylor Greene, Donald Trump Jr., Steve Bannon, they're taking selfies. I mean, the Republican base is where we are. They've caught up to where I was in 2007. That's where the Republican base is now, and not just the base. Read that article. Very, very encouraging. We'll be back.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, the Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to antelopehillpublishing.com.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2, Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21.
How that's a Christmas song, but it is. Can you tell us exactly?
I'll tell you what it is. There's another song that you probably meant to play where he says, The Baron That's shot right. him down, and that was the end when the Baron shouted out, Merry Christmas, my friend.
That's yeah. the one I meant to play. How was that not the one? If there's two of them like that?
I had three altogether. Huh? They only had one hit song.
I blew it. I'm blowing it tonight. That's the one I meant to
play. You
need
to get Liz on the job.
Yeah, that's right. Liz, find
the right
the
one.
The Snoopy versus Red Baron Christmas song, Liz, please. But in any event, that's the one I wanted to play. Hey, I got to tell you something from the Edwards family week. It's been a busy week, okay? So my wife's birthday was yesterday.
Hallelujah.
I was in the ER this week.
No.
You don't believe it. I was. Yes, I had to have a CAT scan on my back. But thankfully, it's not a tumor. It's not kidney failure. I've just got a muscle tear. Anyway, for all this heavy lifting carrying you for all these years, Steve.
Oh, yeah, right. I know that's been a job.
That is true. I was in the ER a couple of days
every
ago.
Every year, too.
No, I'm kidding, brother. And my son had a basketball game today. Okay, listen to this. My son had a basketball game. And this is his first year playing basketball, his second game. And he played on the very same court where I played when I played for Briarcrest, which was, you know, school ball. And it was something to be back in there.
Did he dunk?
No. He didn't. He didn't dunk. But my dad was the coach of my team, and we were in the same gym. Boy, that was something, man, I'll tell you. But also, I mentioned yesterday was my wife's birthday. Yesterday was also a very ominous day in world history. It was on December the 16th, 1944, that 200,000 German troops, backed by 1,600 guns and 350 tanks, launched Hitler's last-ditch Ardennes offensive. 89,000 Americans were casualties in the Battle of the Bulge.
My father got two bronze stars in the Battle of the Bulge.
How about that? Yeah. Was he fighting for the right side?
I think so. No, I don't know. You know, it's now a question. Maybe the Germans were the right side. That's what Patton thought by the end of the war.
That's right.
He said, we fought on the wrong side. We should have joined with the fascists against the communists.
We only think like Patton. It was the single bloodiest U.S. campaign of World War II. Now, here's the truth, though. Joking aside, thinking about World War II is heartbreaking, and I posted this, and it got a lot of engagement on Twitter. Both sides, the Axis and the Allies, so clearly lost that war in catastrophic fashion. The very best and most fit of European mankind were decimated, and it created a vacuum that we still filled today, been filled by the weak, the timid, and the apologetic.
And also, the big winner was world Jewry. What they got out of it was the nation of, in World War I, they got the right to settle Palestine and become, the state of Israel. But they also, won, basically, communism and being Jewish were almost synonymous during World War II. And they, the Russians were big winners in it. Americans were big winners in it. Ironically, the biggest loser besides Germany and Italy in this war was Great Britain. It was ironic that they tried to fight the war so they could maintain their preeminence among European nations, but being involved in both World Wars I and World War II bled them out, and they became that manor by the sea, and it was proven beyond a shadow of a doubt by the Suez Crisis in 1955.
All right. Let's go to the mailbag very quickly. A lot of mail coming in. My goodness. So many Christmas cards. We're festooned with Christmas cards in red and green.
If you read all that, you're going to be here all night.
Well, they write these handwritten letters. And listen, folks, my God, we love y'all. This comes from one of the gentlemen who supports us, not just every quarter, but every month. This is a listener in Arizona. Hi, James and Keith. Your program just keeps getting better. The December 3rd program was especially memorable. Harry Cooper is indeed a national treasure. His stories about the German U-boat veterans were riveting. I played your second hour a second time just to listen to Harry. I'm joining Shark Hunters for access to all the historical biographies. I don't think I'll be able to afford one of the trips to historical World War II German sites. Harry said his purpose of bringing former enemies together who have become friends was to prevent wars between white brothers. All of us couldn't agree more. Well, Jim in Arizona, we couldn't agree with you more. The Jolly Boys of South Carolina. Paul and the Jolly Boys, thanks for all you do, brother. Merry Christmas. Hope this helps. And he's talking about its contribution, which it does so much. This was one of the very first letters we got in. I saved this one. Greetings, James, Keith, and TPC crew. I know that your December fundraising drive is starting, so here's my early, this was the first guy to donate. They sent it in November even. My early voting mail-in ballot in support of your program. Supporting TPC is so much more fun than the early other kind of voting because we get to do this four times a year and we win.
Honest.
And we win every time. And that comes from a listener and supporter in St. Louis, Missouri. I hope he wasn't the one that went into the KFC.
No, I wonder kidding. What would have happened if they'd run out of chicken.
I'm just kidding. This is from a listener in Oak Grove, Kentucky. Praying for you and TPC and Keith Alexander. Please pray for me as well. Well, God bless you, brother. We certainly will. That's the, you know, kind of audience we've got. I want to remind...
It's a family, really.
Talk about that for a second, Keith.
Yeah, we really have a family. We feel like a family. It's just, we're pro-Southern, pro-white, pro-Christian. And that apparently resonates.
Well, that was the one thing that Roland Martin took issue with me on in that CNN clip. He said that you can't be a Christian and be a segregationist. No, we didn't play everything. We cherry-picked it. We didn't play the other side. You hear that every time you tune into any other broadcast. Talk about that.
Well, look,
30 seconds.
Segregation, integration, racism, that has nothing to do with being a Christian. None of these concepts existed when the Bible was written. This is just silliness on the part of the left trying to... And unfortunately, it's silliness that has... basically brainwashed large swaths of Americans, and particularly so-called Christians. You know, whenever you hear what your pastor say that racism is a sin, you need to move to another church because you are supporting an apostate church. There's no such thing. Basically, racism was an invention of a Jewish, German, pedophile, homosexual, in a book he wrote by that name in 1935 to vilify defenders of the old order.
Here's a handwritten letter. How precious, how much it means to us, all of you, ladies and gentlemen, that listen and donate. This is from a listener in California, one of our international listeners. Dear James and everyone at TPC, wow, that's a super good news about Steve King. I think a lot of his coming out had to do with the great reputation you and others at TPC have built up over the years. And now you're going to have other people on of that caliber. That's great. Ronald Reagan also went to Bitburg German Military Cemetery. I really respected him for that. There's an old movie, The Enemy Below, where Robert Mitchum rescues a German U-boat captain who was going down with his ship. Heart-wrenching. Talk about K-Mac's white implicitness. Went to Hilldale, Utah, Colorado City, Arizona a while back to get out of town. Can't recall seeing so many pregnant white women and white children at the local marketplace. Makes you feel good to see that. That comes from listener Mark in California. Also this one. How about this? This comes from Mike in Ohio. Dear James, it's amazing to see how certain interests come together over our lives. I'm a veteran of the United States Navy Submarine Service myself, having served on the first boomer boat and some of the last diesel boats. I am also familiar with shark hunters, but had lost touch with them, so I could not pass up on your Christmas fundraising incentive. My best to you and yours. Let's hope that we are turning the tide. So listen, this is this is what we're talking about. This is our Christmas incentive. You donate $100 or more, and you're going to get not just Harry Cooper's book, U-Boat, Tales from the Men of the U-Boat Waffe, that written by the German submarine sailors themselves for Harry Cooper. He compiled their stories into one chapter after another. You'll get the book, but you're also going to get signed photo cards of these German World War II veterans.
It's like baseball cards, only
only you want to have them. This is incredible. Listen, I mean, here's one. And it's not just U-Boat people. There's Luftwaffe people, too. This is Gerhard Krems, a bomber pilot. He succeeded to make more than 100 bombing missions. You can get his signature. You're going to get...
picture.
Yes, that's right. His picture, his signature. Karl Heinz Hartmann served many years in the Kriegsmarine, saw much combat action amongst the U-boats, was one of the lucky few who survived the war. How about Heinz Rentz, who was a petty officer aboard U-511 when they fired rockets underwater, the first submarine to fire rockets. I mean, there's just so many different stories like this. Harry didn't give me 100 signed photos of the same guy. It's an assortment. And he gave me about four or five, about 20 different veterans from all throughout the German military. This is Gunther Holdorf, who was aboard a U-boat which struck a mine and sank in 1943. And we talked to Harry about that. I thought if you were in a submarine and you sunk, that was it. They could sink several times and still continue to fight. Well, $100 or more, you're going to get the book. You're going to get a signed photo from one of these veterans. And I can't go up to heaven and make them stop playing their harp and come back down and sign more autographs. A lot of these people, almost all of them, have already received their eternal reward. $100 or more, you got to mail it in. We can't accept online contributions anymore. P.O. Box 34336, Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. P.O. Box 34336, Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. $100 or more to the political cesspool, and you're going to get the book and one of these signed photos from one of these legends of world military history. Let's play the right song before we go to the third hour. Here it is now, in honor of these folks. There it is. Play it.
The Baron had Snoopy dead in his sights. He reached for the trigger.